music lovers. Welcome to Wax Chatty with D. Muck and Taddy, where three pals listen to an album, then come together and discuss the dang thing.
What the heck is an album?
An album is a collection of audio recordings issued on compact disc, vinyl, audio tape, or another medium such as digital distribution.
Nice!
All of our selections can be found on Apple Music, Spotify, Discogs, even in your local record store if you fancy doing some crate digging.
In the beginning of 2021, the Muck and Taddy duo started this exploration. And after we had nearly 50 albums under our belts, we brought in Deanna, and it morphed into a podcast for you so that we could share our blinding brilliance.
Come and get on the bus with us while we wax lyrical about wax.
So let's grip it and rip it, people.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
everybody.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Hi.
April 2nd, day after my birthday.
Happy birthday to
you. I'm old.
I'd also like to mention that it's my grandmother's birthday. Hope she's enjoying herself upstairs and boogieing to some Elvis. Anyway.
Yep. Nice.
Grandmother Esther.
Right. Before we get into this, I just wanted to say one thing. As a friend of mine in Scotland started listening to the podcast, we've got a bunch of downloads, which is kind of cool, actually. And so I sent him the site, and he's like, you know, I do podcasts with my pals, and we talk about football, golf, and tits like we're 15. I've listened to 5 minutes of yours and not one mention of getting your hole. If you need some pointers for improving your show, just ask. Like, changing tatty to titty will definitely get you more listeners. It was like, you can have that one for free.
Hey, titty.
I would love that. I would love to be changed to titty.
Wax Chitty with D, Muck, and Titty.
All right, Deanna, kick us off. Let's roll.
All right.
Yeah, your pick, baby.
All right, hon. My pick for today was Peace Beyond Passion by Michel Ndegeo-Chelo. And I think I said that correctly. I tried to be as, her name is so cool. The album was put out in 1996.
25th of June, baby, 25th of June.
Michel was born in Germany, raised in Washington, D.C., in an army family, but her dad wasn't only a major, he was also a saxophonist. So that's amazing that she had that. And she went to the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. And I love her. Her music incorporates so much that I just dig completely, like funk, soul, jazz, all that, even rap, reggae, and rock. And she's been nominated for 11 Grammy Awards with one win. Her adopted surname, which I have trouble saying, means free like a bird in Swahili. And she's been playing around with the spelling over the years. I was turned on to her by a friend in the early 2000s who was lesbian. And when she found out I hadn't heard Michelle, she tossed me the album and said, check out this amazing fellow LGBT bassist. You'll love her. Her music has balls. And it totally does. And it was the Cookie Anthropological mixtape. And at the time, I was newly divorced and really getting into exploring my bisexuality. So there are some songs that I grooved to. And what's exciting for me about this is that, as we said in the last episode, I have not listened to this album before. And whereas normally things that I've picked are old favorites, so it was fun finding out some amazing new stuff.
So you didn't get turned on to this album. You got turned on to her and
yes,
other stuff. Got it.
Correct. I was surprised by this album being as religious-ish as it is. But I mean, that kind of thing doesn't turn me off if it's done right. And I thought that it was, you know, I mean, some things it you know, but then you guys know that I'm a little more of the wobbity-wobbity spiritual of, in some ways of, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, so, I love the Christian pick you picked. That's really nice of you.
I just think that her music is so groovy that it kind of, even if someone isn't into that at all, they can just get into the tunes. But that's my personal opinion. Taddy, boombastic, Maddie, titty, titty, titty. That way we say it three times. Kind of like
the
nice. Man or something
that
like
good.
That.
My new
great Titino.
So,
Titty, titty, bang, bang. All right, there you go.
First song, and it's very short. It's like a minute 20. It's instrumental. For me, it kind of sets the...
Wait, hold on. We have to tell everyone what we're doing. We are doing...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Sorry. So excited.
We are doing timed track talk. Time track talk.
Is timed.
We went overboard a little last time because we were so enthralled by the album. So, and we were pontificating a wee bit too much. And we're going to time each track to a minute. We're going to get the hook and drag each other off the stage. All right. So what do you got?
So the first song is called The Womb. It's a short instrumental. For me, it kind of sets the tone of the sound of the album. Obviously not the lyrics, because there ain't no lyrics. For me, the album and the song has kind of a neo-funk, soul, R&B mix. I got to be honest with you, I did not get into this album at first listen. I did not appreciate the sound. I appreciated the artistry. I appreciated the musicianship. I appreciated the really a lot of imagination. But it just wasn't for me. The sound wasn't just for me, the actual fusion sound. But then it grew on me. And this song kind of grew on me. A lot of musicians on this album, famous ones, Wawa Watson plays guitar on this song. And the fifth, eighth, and 12th track, Wendy Melvoin of The Revolution plays guitar.
Turn that shit off.
Okay. I'm done. Oh, but I got the next song. So
you got it.
You just keep going, man.
The next song is called The Way. It has sort of an earth, wind, and fire chorus. It has a disco sort of fusion spoken word verses with male and female voices alternating. It kind of expresses the dialectic in the song, and that dialectic is sort of an ambivalent search for spirituality juxtaposed with this questioning of Christianity that has sometimes perverted the idea of God's love.
I really deliver
album. I do really like this song. I like this album. I like the meaning. It's a rather complicated. It's sophisticated because of the ambivalence it expresses, and I think that ambivalence is expressed in the music. So the next song is.
Oh, I was getting ready to go wrap that shit up, but I didn't.
I wrapped it, baby.
Oh my God, great. You wrapped it.
Third track. We're at the third track.
Okay, right. Third track is Mac. Third track is a song, and she's singing, "All I Want is a Man." She wants a black man. She's very specific, as the title suggests, a black man that will treat me right. The sax break is so great in this song. One little note is Billy Preston is on organ on this song, and he's also on two other tracks on this album. Billy played with the Beatles on Get Back and is in their final rooftop performance on electric piano. He also played with Peter Drake, Peter Frampton, and the Peters, and Ringo on George Harrison's album, All Things Must Pass, which is I'm a huge fan of that album. Interesting song. Like I said about Bill, I'm kind of the same way with this album. I listen to it a lot. And, you know, it's like, it's no Anita Baker. It's kind of weak Sade, truthfully. It's like you would hear this in a lounge, lizard kind of thing, you know? Done. Track number four.
Play guitar. So now it's the fourth track, and that also is Mac.
Yay. It's a spoken word. The chorus is the only thing that's singing. Free my heart so my soul may fly. Free my mind of my worldly wants and desires. I actually had to look this up because I couldn't understand what she was saying. I look up this. So this has kind of tweaked me a little bit in this song. I look up to heaven with my arms open wide. Take my hand. Come take my hand. Now, on one of the chorus, she says, I'm ready to go. So my thought was, is this a song about death and wanting to die? The bridge is nice, though.
Yes.
That's track four. Now, and Deanna is up for track five.
Yes, me, also known as D in dysfunction. So Leviticus, putting the D in dysfunction.
You got a minute.
All right. Oh, holy shit. Not only is the groove incredibly funky and we hear her bass loud and clear, it's just an important song about what queer kids have to deal with in a family that is completely tone deaf to their children and homophobic. And I would think her being queer speaks to where her heart was with this song. And I personally feel every bass note is a sound of strength in the midst of this teen's tortured life in a family that chooses to turn their backs on him. I love this song. And I found it interesting that some of the lyrics that Spotify had were not in the recording. So I wonder if this is some kind of an edited version, either that or my hearing is really fucked up. I don't know. But that's what I had to say about Leviticus. Next song.
Wow, we are not getting the cutoffs. It's very
Magdalene.
All right. It's a love song and it's beautiful. And it's comparing the gal that she loves to a Mary Magdalene washing the feet of unworthy men that she has been banging left and right with one night stands and asking her to be with her at least for one night and find out that this is the love that will set her free from these endless one-night stands. The imagery is beautiful here, and it reminds me, along with so much of this album, that her voice is as beautiful as her bass. I mean, her bass. I really do. I dug it. I did. But I think I'm biased.
The next cut is God Shiva. Wendy Melvone helped write this one, the guitarist who played with Prince in the Revolution and other things. This is really a celebration of the positiveness of possible spirituality. And also the main message of this song is you got God in you. Don't go looking for God because God in you. And I really do love that. It's got sort of a 70s earth, wind and fire chorus, which I'll tell you, I did not like at first. And that grew on me even too. And I did not like that sound. That kind of, to me, it sounds cheesy. I hate to say that about that kind of harmonies, but then it grew on me and it also made sense. And then it goes into sort of a spoken word on the verses, really strong bass progression in there. Got a sunny, happy day bridge. One of the lyrics, I accept praise, blame, joy, sorrow. I realize we are in truth.
Wrap that shit up.
God.
Wrap it up. Wrap
and
it
what?
Up.
No, no. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Wendy plays. You're done.
No, no, no. Wait. Let him finish the sentence, though. This is so painful.
All right. The next one is a Bill Withers song. Who he is and what he is to you. Classic sort of sounding funk. Billy Preston plays on this bad boy too. Shades of kind of Shaft and old time funk. Like I said, the song concerns a almost paranoid suspicion and terror of a lover's betrayal. I love the chorus line, dag gummit. Who is he and what is he to you? Great dance tune. I danced to this many times, doing all sorts of things. Again, some of the guitar work that Wendy does in this, like in the last song, kind of similar to the last song,
where she
goes crazy, blissful, ecstatic, Prince-like, shouldn't compare her to Prince. She's her own woman. Really some cool guitar stuff. And the next song is... Did I mention it was written by Bill Withers and has had a lot of covers? Who he is, what he is to you. The next song is called Stay. That's the ninth.
Yeah, that's me. The next two songs, it's all about getting it on. Stay, let's get it on, my bittersweet flower. The number track nine, it's got this really funky bass in it. It reminded me at first of the Barney Miller show's theme song. And then I went, no, that's not right. But I still, so I went back and listened to Barney Miller theme song a few times, which is so funny.
Of course you did. And that's awesome.
Hal Linden was the star of that. Anyway, basically for this song, it's kind of funny. It's like, give it up to me and then I'll leave you alone. It's like, isn't that kind of what most people are like about sex, you know, in like one night stand kind of thing? So Bittersweet is the next track. I'm done, girl. I'm on to the next one. Bittersweet. Ooh. And again, it's all about shagging. And I do want to say one thing. I did really love hearing the rain sticks in this. It kind of made me giggle when I was like, ooh, rain sticks. Very nice. And that's me. I did like these two tracks. I thought they were very, quite nice compared to the rest of the album. At this point in the album, I'm kind of actually enjoying the album because I really didn't enjoy it. The Bill Withers song, yes, I recognized immediately. I actually thought it was a Staple Singer song at first, and then I heard Bill in it. There was even a little bit of Faithless in there, which was kind of funny. So that's track 9 and track 10.
The next track, track 11, A Tear and a Smile.
And that would be me. I think it's a gloriously funky, jazzy love song, and it grooves with the spirituality. I feel like kind of like God Shiva, which was one of my favorite songs on the album. I agree with you, Bill. I just dig it, and I do dig it more for the tunes as opposed to the lyrics. Compared to like God Shiva and a couple of the other songs, it's not my favorite on the album. I appreciated it more for the musicality. It's just not my favorite, but, you know, I dig it. But then we have the last song on the album, Make Me Wanna Holler. And again, that bass hit me right in the face. No, but I just love her bass playing. And I just personally, I think that as a chick bassist, I mean, having women playing bass, I have a bass that I don't really touch. She actually inspired me to buy a bass and try it because I do play a little guitar since I was a spud. But this is an amazing story of her mom passing down strength, yet having an Achilles heel of giving herself to the wrong people. Strong Black women stuck in a cycle of giving away power. And it's also a love song, an homage to her mom, or character singing the song is to her mother, basically, which I thought was beautiful, but it is very sad, but there is strength there too. I just love that she can wrap all of this shit up, this whole fucking album, with bass.
All right, that's the end of Track Talk.
Track Talk.
All right, so now what we're going to do is have a little bit of mashup, mix up, anything that anybody wants to say about songs that they weren't necessarily responsible for or anything. I would like to, I'll start it off because I'm talking.
Bill, why don't you start it off?
I will.
I just tell you, this is like speed dating. Jesus Christ.
Stop talking so fast. So the last song that Deanna was talking about, Make Me Wanna Holler, I think it has, in its nature, is something that is the epitome of this album, of dual messages running parallel with each other that you can interpret one way or another, because Make Me Wanna Holler is a very somewhat tough song to listen to because it is concerning abuse and violence. And on the other hand, there is hope and strength. Mac brought up in Ecclesiastics.
I feel that this song is probably the best song off the album, really.
I wouldn't disagree with that, although I do really love God Shiva, but yes.
God Shiva is very nice, but you know, I went down the rabbit hole with, I'm going to call it Da Bun Buns now because it's more fun. And I ended up rocking out with Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings album from 2005 called Naturally, just because it went there, it Pandora'd after this song. And I was like, oh my God. Sharon Jones, bring it, you know? Anyway, sorry.
So the fourth cut, Mac brought up something about, is it about death? Is it about going to the great beyond, as it were? And it does have this yearning to it. And it made me think that, because Mac read some of the lyrics, it sounded a lot like possibly approaching an orgasm, which then I remembered, that's called A Little Death. So that sort of mix of messages, I think, that the album has. And
I had a friend of mine who wrote a short play called Le Petit Mort. And yes. It was all about having an orgasm. Quite a fun little play.
I love shit like that. Oh, I love it.
So there's a lot of, there's some double meanings in this.
I really adored God Shiva. It spoke to me actually about my own spirituality, the fact that I could groove to a song like that. I actually want to send it to a couple of friends who I do wobbity wobbity spirituality stuff with, meditation. I wanted just to say a couple of things that I was afraid to get in the first part because I know we were timing it, but
you were afraid?
Not afraid, but
you're
just
a little scaredy cat.
I was afraid.
She tried out unsuccessfully for Living Color, which I thought was really interesting. And when she went solo, it was one of the first songs. She was one of the first people to get signed with Maverick Records.
The TV show or the band?
The band.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
She tried out for In Living Color? Wow, that would have been a weird mix, in my opinion.
I mean, that's what I read. Boop, boop. Also, she had several of the songs from this album were on the top 10 and 20 Billboard charts, which normally I don't give a rat's ass about because a lot of that song stuff is just, you know, for me. But I just thought,
Deanna, it's funny you say that. Like, I do think the Billboard is something because it does chart the sales. It's a little different with streaming now, but, you know, like, compared to something like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think the Billboard charts actually are something. It's what the public is listening to, you know?
Okay, yes. The public is listening to versus a popularity contest, like the awards and stuff like that. So yes, I agree with you on that.
I disagree completely. I hate the public.
Nice. You know, Michelle actually has a new single out called Virgo with Brandy Younger and Julius Rodriguez. Brand new, if you want to check it out.
Apropos of almost nothing, total trivia, Wendy Melvoin, who plays guitar on this, as I said, she collaborated with Prince. Her dad was in The Wrecking Crew.
Oh, really?
And also Michelle played with the Blind Boys of Alabama, which I think is awesome because they're great.
That's cool. I actually got tickets to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well done.
Really?
Yeah, I got a lot of tickets coming up.
Yeah, Matt, you and I have a show coming up at the end of the month, right?
John Fogerty?
I think it's
at Radio City, which a friend of mine called me up and he's like, oh, I have to go to Asia to shoot a film and I can't use my Iggy Pop ticket in Las Vegas on the 29th. Do you want it? And I'm like, ah. I was like, oh, great. I have John Fogerty on the 28th. Do I hop on a plane the next morning to go to Vegas to see Iggy? I considered it. He's like in the second row in this really small venue.
I don't see any possible issues that could come up with that. I think that's a great idea.
I mean, it's worth considering.
I'm going to see Hot Tuna in 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Oh,
that's great.
Jack and Jorma, that's cool.
Oh, man.
I had tickets to go see Tedeschi Trucks, and I'd never seen him before. It was at the Beacon, and I couldn't go, and I was kind of furious. I'd actually gotten tickets, and it was the last row in the entire venue, just so I could dance, and they're like $40 tickets. They were pretty cheap, you know, and I've actually sat in the last row, and it's not terrible.
Yeah, you and I have.
Yeah, we've gone to the last row.
Yeah, because I remember dancing. I don't remember what show it was, but I remember dancing.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a lot of dancing. I forget which shows are last rows. And
So I gave them to a coworker, and he goes, and Jack and Jorma were the special guests. I was like, oh my God. But that's great. Where are you seeing them?
It is a venue that also has theater and music. It looks like it's kind of a modern version of,
The Ethical Society of Culture.
Yeah.
Now, didn't we see them at City Winery?
We've seen them 8 million times.
I know we have.
A lot of times. But I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
I'm abstaining.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up, but it won't be in my rotation, except for Make Me Want to Holler and God Shiva, really. And I want to listen to more of her work than just a couple of songs that were passed down to me in the 2000s that I would love to, like, you know, get laid to.
Okay, next time on the WC, we're gonna have a toilet roll and a loofah. Next time on Wax Chatty, we're gonna actually have a special guest talking about her album that she released in March of 2019. The album is New Road Home, and the artist is my good friend, Deborah Berg.
And I am so, so excited that we're having a guest.
She's going to come on and talk to us. And we're going to put her in the hot seat, in the Wax Chatty hot seat, and talk to her about her album and talk about what's next and talk about what's happening in the world of Deborah Berg.
Indubitably. Okay, people, that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the Wax Chatty Podcast. If you enjoyed what was in your ears, please rate us and leave us a comment on Spotify or Apple and share this dude with your homies.
We'd love to hear your thoughts. Be nice now and look forward to rapping about our next selection.
Stay tuned.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.